Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West, and I am the host of this podcast. And if this is your first time listening to the show, this podcast is all about inspiring you to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life. I do that through covering different topics and specialist areas each week, all centered around health and well-being, but taking a very holistic approach to wellness. That means I don't just focus on the body, it's the complete package: mind, body, and spirit. And I believe when you get all of those three areas working optimally and you become optimally healthy in all of those three areas, then you are going to be the most complete human being that you can possibly be, and ultimately the best version of yourself. So if that interests you and you want to become a better version of yourself, you want to become healthier, happier, more joyful, live that longer life, this is the podcast for you. Some weeks I have fantastic guests on that I bring in from all over the world, pick their brain, dive into their knowledge, wisdom and expertise, and put that information across to you guys. Other weeks it's just myself sharing my expertise from over 11 years now in the fitness industry. Today's episode is episode number 46, and before I get stuck into that episode and before we introduce this week's guests, let me just ask firstly a few favors of you guys listening in, and then also I have some big news that I want to bring to you as well, so a few announcements, you could say. So the first thing, and I ask this every single week, there's three things I'd love for you guys to do. The first one is to like, follow, or subscribe to this podcast. Just click that button. It takes 2 seconds and you'll be updated with all of my latest episodes. Secondly, if you are listening to this on a platform that allows you to leave a review, then please do leave me a review. Reviews are massive. They help myself and my podcast to grow, but not just mine, all podcasters, we rely on reviews. They're what help us to grow and reach more people. So if you can leave me a review, I will be forever grateful. Third and finally, one of the best things you can do, this is, if you forget everything else, please do this, and that is to share this with your friends, family, colleagues, loved ones. It takes, again, hardly any time. Just tell them, have you listened to the Kinetic Fitness Show? If they say no, tell them to search for it on their favorite platform, or take a screenshot, tag me in it, Ali West Fitness, that's my handle on Instagram and Twitter. If you tag me in that, share it with your friends and your followers, I will share it with mine as well. So let's spread the love and tell as many people about this podcast as possible, and then we can ultimately help more people. That's what I'd love you to do. The second thing is announcements. I have two major announcements for you guys listening in. The first one is that I have just partnered up with a nutrition company, and I want to give you guys, the listeners, discounts to excellent supplements and excellent nutrition products. So the company that I've partnered up with, and I'm doing a sponsorship program with them, is Reflex Nutrition. If you haven't heard of Reflex Nutrition, they are a UK-based nutrition company. And the great thing about Reflex is that they use, firstly, all organic products, and secondly, their whey protein is from grass-fed cows. So you're knowing that what you're consuming in terms of their products is the finest quality. It's rigorously tested, it's approved by all of the drug standard agencies here in the UK and in Europe. So you know that what you are buying from them is high quality. I've used their products myself. I would only endorse and recommend products that I've tried and that I am an advocate of, if I can spit my words out. So if you want to get discount of up to 30% off whatever you buy from Reflex Nutrition, all you need to do is head to their site, reflexnutrition.com. I will put the links to this in the description of this podcast. So if you head over to reflexnutrition.com, buy whatever you want, find the supplements and the products that you want, add them to your cart, and then when you check out, if you use the code PTWEST441, that's all uppercase, PTWEST441. If you add that at checkout, you will get up to 30% off whatever you purchase. I highly recommend that you go and get their supplements, start to supplement, because this is what's going to take you to the next level. If you already train well, if you already have a great diet, but you're not using supplements, then this is your next logical step. Even if you are struggling with your nutrition and you're struggling with your exercises, nutrition will take you to the next level as well. So I highly recommend that you supplement and add in some of those supplements to your nutritional program. That's enough about the reflex. The second thing, this is a huge announcement, and this is something that I'm so excited about, and it's something that I want you guys to jump on board and get involved with if you can possibly do it. Here's the dates for you. 14th of September 2019. If you listen to this after that, I apologize. You can skip over this bit, but if it's not, if it's before that date and you are listening to this before the 14th of September 2019, which is a Saturday, I am hosting a big event here at my gym, Kinetic Fitness in Nottingham in the United Kingdom. We have Lee Ewan coming over all the way from Finland to do a biohacking the breath event. If you go back to episode number 39, you can listen to the podcast that I did with Lee. And Lee is an expert in breathing and breathing techniques and the mechanics of breathing. He's a Wim Hof level 2 instructor. There's hardly any people on this planet that are level 2 Wim Hof instructors. Also, he is a breathology practitioner. So if you haven't heard of breathology, that is Stig Severinsen, his company. And Stig Severinsen holds the current world record for a breath hold. It's 23 minutes or something along those lines. 23, 24 minutes he held his breath for. So one big breath and held his breath for 23 minutes. You may think that's crazy. It's true. Check it out. Also, if you haven't heard of Wim Hof, check him out. If you haven't heard of Lee Ewan, go and check him out. You can follow him on Instagram, Lee Ewan. You can follow Wim Hof, Iceman Hof. And then you can also go to the Breathology Instagram, which is at Breathology, I believe. Don't hold me to that, but just if you search them, you'll find it. So this event is going to be massive. It's a one-day event, 9 until 6. It's going to be intensive. We're going to cover topics all centered around breathing and how you can hack your breath to reduce stress, improve performance, lose weight, de-stress yourself, increase your cognitive function, so many different benefits. If you want more information on this, I'm going to put the link in the description to this. All you have to do is head over to flowness.io. And all the information will be on there, flowness.io. But I will put the link in the description so you can just click it, head over and find out all the details. We're going to do some cold water immersion on the day as well. That's how we're going to finish off. Once we've mastered all the breathing techniques, we've done some yoga, we've had a nice healthy lunch. At the end of the day, the final thing, you'll all be getting, and whoever attends the event will all be getting in a cold tub, ice cold tub, and we're going to be doing some cold water immersion. If you don't know about cold therapy as well, I highly suggest you go back to episode 10 of my podcast when we spoke all about cold therapy with Dr. Mark Cohen. Cold therapy is massive. It's one of the best things that you can do for your overall health and well-being. So this event, I can't stress enough how important, how impactful, and how amazing this event is going to be. I'm super excited about it. Here's the issue though. We only have space for 50 people. That's it. 50 people. Once them spaces are gone, that's it. No more room. The gym is going to be completely closed off. No one else is going to be here other than the 50 people that are attending the event. So I highly recommend that you book your place sooner rather than later. For all of you guys listening in, you can go over to the site and grab a place for £149. Don't ask me what that is in dollars. You can work it out for yourself. £149 guarantees your place for the day. The value I put on this is thousands of pounds, if not invaluable. The information, the techniques, the stuff that you can put into practice straight away as soon as you finish that workshop, as soon as you finish the day, it's going to be invaluable. So £149 is nothing for a full intensive day with myself and Lee to improve your life and biohack your breath. So check out the Biohacking Your Breath event. All the links are in the description and get yourself booked on. It's going to be huge. I have gone on far too long. Let's talk about today's guest and introduce today's guest. My guest today is Jane Bush, and Jane is based here in my hometown of Nottingham in the UK. She owns her own hydrotherapy colonics practice, and if you don't know what colonics are and what colonic hydrotherapy is, you're going to find out in this podcast. So in this podcast, we're going to learn all about gut health, about how colonics can help you and help with your digestion, your gut health, whether you have any underlying issues such as IBS or digestive problems or leaky gut. We're going to learn all about that. We're going to learn about poo and how you can have healthy poos. Loads of different things, all centered around gut health, digestion, and bowels as well. So if you don't know, the gut is the second brain. You have trillions of gut bacteria, microbiome it's called. You have trillions in there. You have trillions of cells in there as well. And the gut is the second brain. There is a link between the gut and the brain. If you have an unhealthy gut, if your gut is not functioning properly, you are not going to function optimally and you are not going to have a healthy life. You're ultimately going to have deep lying issues. As I said, the brain and the gut are linked. So again, if the gut isn't working properly, your brain is not going to function correctly as well. So it's really important that you look after your gut health, and we're going to find out all about that in this episode. As I mentioned, Jane runs her own practice, but she is also a member of the Association of Registered Colon Hydrotherapists. So this is the Arch Association. This is the governing body for all colon hydrotherapists. So she's super qualified. She's got backgrounds in other different therapeutic practices as well, which I'm sure she'll talk about. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get stuck into this. All about gut health, all about digestive systems and colons and colonic hydrotherapy. Jane Bush, episode 46 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. I hope you enjoy this one, guys. Let's do it. Hi, Jane. Are you okay? Can you hear me?
I can, Ali. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. Thanks so much for taking your time out to come on my podcast, to come on the Kinetic Fitness Show. I'm looking forward to our chat and I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
No problem. Before we get started and before I ask you a few questions and obviously pick your brain, can you just give myself and the listeners a bit of a backstory about who you are, what you do and where you're at now?
Yes, I'm Jane Bush. I'm a registered naturopathic colon hydrotherapist. I've been doing this for about 5 years, and my background before that was in musculoskeletal problems. I'm an advanced remedial therapist. Colonics is something I've had personally for about 12 years and just found it so beneficial for my gut and health problems. And my clinic's actually in Gedling Colonics on Main Road. And we've got a very busy clinic there. Everybody is more in line with their gut health and digestion these days. And we do see quite a lot of dysfunction of the gut, IBS and that kind of thing.
Yeah, great. So how did you get into colonics originally? Like, what made you decide that, A, you wanted to have it done and then to take this as a route?
Well, I suffered with what's called a lazy bowel since I was a child. I've always had problems going to the toilet for bowel movements, getting very bloated, that kind of thing. And it got to a stage when I was in probably early 30s that I was getting so painful, and the doctors didn't seem to know what to do to settle things down. Colonics was always something I tried, basically because I didn't know where to go for it. When I was doing remedial, one of my ladies kindly put me on to Linda Booth, who was a great influence on my colonic life and encouraged me to train. And I've been having colonics now for about 12 years, and it's completely changed everything. No medical intervention, no prescribed drugs, that kind of thing. So it really helped me in that way. And because of my so-called medical background, because I've been trained from cellular level upwards in my remedial side, we have to have a medical background to train with ARCH, which is our professional association. Linda encouraged me to train. There wasn't enough therapists around, so she gently persuaded me to look at training. And from there, it's just been full flight for the last 5 years. There's no stopping at all. And like I say, we've got a lot of bowel problems in the family. So my mother-in-law, she ended up with a stoma because of a blockage in the bowel. My son suffers with IBS and has a lot of gastroenteritis in the past. My husband, I've recently lost him to bowel cancer. So there's a lot of that particular area. And I just really wanted to help others to try and get the bowel and digestion working better. And I've seen what my family have gone through with not having it, really. So it was there onwards.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's something that you've used to help yourself, but also I can tell that it's something you're passionate about as well, helping others to correct
their issues. Oh, definitely. Yeah, get a lot of work satisfaction. I've got lovely people that come to me. I've never had anybody who, you know, I dread seeing. I love all my patients and I just want them all to feel better because I've seen both sides of the scope, really. You know, I've been there, my family have been there, and I know what they're going through. So I think it gives me more empathy with people and gut-related problems.
Yeah. Tell my listeners and myself then more about colonics and what it actually is, because I know there'll be people listening to this and they would have heard of it, or they might have been subjected to it somehow, but they don't really know the details of it.
No.
On TV, do you know what I mean? But they don't really know the ins and outs of it. So can you just give us a bit more detail?
Yeah, sure. So colon hydrotherapy is a completely natural treatment. All we use during the treatment is nice, warm, filtered water. We use, I'm naturopathically trained, so I use herbs as well during the treatment. And it's just generally a gentle washout of the large intestine. I mean, this area can be called a number of different things. So you've got the large intestine, the colon, the gut. It's all the same kind of area. And all the water is filtered. And we use it to remove any waste matter, rehydrate the bowel, and of course, give it a bit of exercise. Like any muscle, it needs a little bit of exercise to keep it healthy and working to optimum. So what we do is just distend the bowel with a little bit of water and contract it back. So that kind of movement gives what we call mass peristalsis, which is what happens when you have a bowel movement. It gets your bowels working. We use a closed system, which is very hygienic, means that there's no smell, no mess, no fuss there. Any matter goes straight down the main drain. We can see what's coming out, and on top of that, it stimulates natural nerve and muscle to encourage proper bowel action and get everything moving. It's like a reset, really, a reset of your bowel. So I can see people from anywhere from once a month to once or twice a year, depending on how bad they are. It's not something, obviously, we want to over-encourage because we want to get the bacteria levels and microbiome nice and balanced. So it's quite a fine divide on how many times you need it. And that goes by what I see during the treatment.
Yeah, makes sense. You just answered one of my questions that I was going to ask, was how many times do you need to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's great, because I was just going to ask you that. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's different. So like I say, you know, I've got some people who really do struggle. They don't go to the toilet in between sessions. So they come, you know, every month, every couple of weeks. I've got one lady at the moment. But then there's people with perfectly functioning digestion. They just come for a bit of a detox and a clear out. And I probably just see those once or twice a year. So it does depend on each patient. Everybody's an individual.
Got you. Tell me then, Jane, about some of the issues that you see and stuff that comes up time and time again. So what are the major issues that people are suffering from? Because we hear it all the time now, especially on the news and in social media, how important gut health is and gut function and the microbiome, as you mentioned. So can you just first, before we get into the solutions and how we can improve it. Can you just tell us what some of the major problems are that you see?
Yeah, sure. The main two major ones, well, three really, is constipation, bloating, and IBS symptoms. We're seeing a lot of IBS. The ladies tend to suffer more with the constipation, though, you know, there are a few gents out there who have the problems. The gents tend to go the other way. They tend to go too much. So in that case, it's just as bad, really, because it's flushing food through and you're not getting the full absorption of your foods. Even if you've got a fantastic diet, it's not absorbing all your vitamins and minerals properly. So that's just as bad, really, as not going enough. Bloating again is a real biggie, but that usually goes hand in hand with the constipation. The more it's sat in your bowel, putrefying, the more toxins build up, the bad bacteria, and that can all go hand in hand with the bloating. A lot of it is due to, like you say, the more dietary problems, more fast foods, that kind of thing. But they're the three or four biggies that we tend to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Okay. So you said briefly there why these issues are occurring. You said because of diet.
Yeah.
So what, other than diet, what else causes these issues, or is that the main one?
Diet is probably 80% of the problems with people. Another biggie is dehydration. People do not drink enough. They come to me with constipation and they're only having maybe 2 or 3 cups of tea and that's it, no water or anything. If you are having a lot of tea and coffee, it's still fluid, but it's very dehydrating as well. So the best thing is if you're having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, have a glass of water to match each of your tea or coffees. Ideally though, we need you to have at least 2 litres of water a day on its own, just pure water. Lack of exercise, another one. It gets the bowel moving. The bowel is connected to some of the muscular interludes in there, but it has a bit of a pendulum swing across the transverse colon, which is goes across your middle area. So why are you doing a bit of exercise, moving around, walking, that kind of thing? It gets the pendulum swinging a little bit and it helps move things around. Another big factor is we're all under a lot of stress these days. You know, some handle it a lot better than others, but with the gut-brain connection, stress has a lot to do with what goes on. And again, a lot of medication use, a lot of the prescribed drugs can have gastrointestinal disturbances. They can cause a lot of problems in there. So there are quite a few major issues there that do cause problems with the gut.
Yeah, makes sense. Stress is a big one. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem. But
definitely
that's probably a whole other podcast on its own.
Oh, I know, people don't put the two together, you know, when they come to me and we do a full consultation first of all and go through the health background and everything like that, they don't put the two together. I think it is coming more into the main limelight now. People are seeing more because of all of the different research that's been done with the gut these days. But it's still with a lot of people, they think, you know, they've got so much going on, they don't put the two together. But it is an important factor and how we handle our stress as well.
Yeah. I'm going to go off at a tangent a little bit because...
Oh, you're all right.
there's a couple of bits that you mentioned that I want to touch on. And there's two of them. The first one is frequency, and then I briefly want to talk about poo.
Yeah, no problem.
So the first one, you mentioned not going enough and going too much. So what is an inadequate frequency for someone to be having a bowel movement on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, we need people to go daily. If we're having 2 or 3 meals a day or more, we need you to empty your bowels at least once a day. What they say is the normal is between 1 to 3 times a day. Anything more than that is moving too quick. We need to slow it down a little bit. That may be, you know, different factors in there. It may be that we need to use some nice warm water just to calm the bowel down a little bit and relax it so it's not moving quite as badly. If you're going more than maybe 2 days without going for a bowel movement, you need to get help, you need to get things moving. We don't want to put you in the stage where you could be more prone to the colorectal problems and cancers. That is just so, that the rates are so sky high at the moment. We need people to be more in line with this. We need to get people going daily. That's the ideal.
Yeah, that's a great point, and a great point for the listeners to take on is to not ignore these things. If you're not having those bowel movements, go and get yourself checked out. Go and see an expert like yourself and get sorted, because there's no point ignoring it and avoiding it.
No.
It's only going to lead on to further problems.
Exactly. Definitely.
Right, let's talk poo.
Yeah, talk poo. That's fine.
Let's talk poo. What is a good poo? Because I hear all this conflicting information about...
Yeah.
And I know it's a great way of assessing digestive and your bowel health and your gut health is literally assessing your stool. So what is a good poo?
That's right. So a good poo, we're looking at the form. We need it to be a sausage shape, a good diameter, not too big. What we're looking for colour-wise is like a mid-brown conker kind of colour. The rule of thumb is the darker that the stool is, the longer usually it's been stuck in your bowel. There is exceptions to this rule. If people are having a lot of iron-rich foods like the leafy greens, the spinach, that kind of thing, iron-rich foods, then that can obviously impact on the colour. But if you've got very dark stools and then it's also like rabbit todd kind of form, very little round balls, that kind of thing, it's been stuck in your bowel, it's been in there far too long, so you need to get the bowel moving, whether it's naturally, whether it's with the help of a laxative, but we need to get the old stuff out. So that's the ideal thing, what we're looking for. There is something out there which as therapists use, called the Bristol stool chart, and that will tell you 5 or 6 different types, from type 1, which is the constipated stool type, right through to, I think it's level 6, which is like the just a puddle of mush kind of thing, and it will tell you what to look for. So the Bristol stool chart is something really good to have a look at and just get your mind open to what you're looking for. But do have a look once you've been. I've got loads of people who just flush the toilet, they don't have a look. It is important to have a look. How do you know if there's any blood in there if you've not had a look? So don't be put off by it. It's only, we all do it, we all go to the toilet, check it, it's so important.
Yeah, without sounding too vulgar, I'm always doing it. I'm like obsessive with checking. Because like I say, it's a great gauger. And that's another thing I want to point out to the people that are listening to this, is that it's a great way to check your digestive health.
Definitely. And some of the places in Europe, I've had a couple from Holland lately. They live over here, but they used to live in Holland. And they were saying in their toilets over there, they have a little ledge before it actually goes into the water. So they do look at their stools before they flush it away, which I think we ought to do over here, really. It's a good idea, you know, rather than it goes straight into the water and sometimes it just goes straight under the pipe and it's gone. Yeah. But they have a little ledge where they can actually see it, which is brilliant.
Let's go European.
Yeah, definitely. We need a bit of that going on.
Okay, that's enough about poo. I think we've maxed out on the poo. Let's move on to... how we can improve. Let's talk about improvement. So let's say people are suffering with their digestion, or they've got these issues that you may have talked about, so IBS and constipation, whatever it might be. How can someone start to improve their digestion other than coming to see yourself or going for a colonic? What's other ways that they can make improvements?
Well, the main thing that we get people to do, if they're ringing us and we can't fit them in for a time, the main thing we did get them to do at home is to get a good probiotic going. It's so important to get your good bacteria in there, overcrowd the bad stuff, and it's got a prophylactic effect, so it'll protect your bowel against any of the colorectal problems. Also, a good amount of healthy fats in your diet. So your avocado, your nuts, your olive oil, anything like that. What we find a lot these days, particularly with the ladies, is they're doing all these Slimming World diets and Weight Watchers and all that. But they make the healthy fat foods really high in points so that the ladies are put off having them. And then we see a lot of constipation from these people. So it's so important to have your healthy fats, your oily fish and that kind of thing. Food cooked from scratch. Try to keep off the convenience foods as much as possible. Know sometimes it's really hard because we're all really busy and we do grab for these things. But where possible, please try and cook from scratch. We know what's in it. We know the sugars. We know how much unhealthy fats are in there, how much salt and that kind of thing. So it's balanced. Try not to overdo the carbohydrates too. You're better getting your carbohydrates from your vegetables if possible. If you're quite bloated, the one thing we always get people to do is to cut out any gluten or dairy for a couple of weeks, just to see if that makes a difference. We do find that these two food groups, particular, can be very irritating in there, and they can cause excessive bloating if you do have trouble digesting it. Again, regular exercise, get out there walking if you're not a gym bunny. But obviously the weight training helps your bones, so that's a really good thing to do as well. You know, get out there in the open air, really. Water intake, again, make sure you're getting your 2 litres. No, not everybody likes water, but it's just so important. We need to keep the body hydrated. And one way we can do that is check our urine levels, make sure it's not dark when we're going to the toilet and it's nice and clear or slight yellow tingish. Watch tea and coffee, like we said earlier, very dehydrating to the body. Also sugars, fizzy drinks. And another important thing, we had some lovely ladies who were advanced bowel nurses from the NHS come to speak to all our ARCH members. And one of their big things was to get people on the toilet sitting in the right position. So getting your feet up off the floor, putting you in like a squatting position. And they found that 80% of the patients that were referred to them from the doctors improve greatly by getting the feet off and getting in the right position on the toilet. So all those things should make a great difference to people, you know, before they have to start looking at specialist help.
Yeah. Have you seen the squatty potty?
We have. I've got one of those in my clinic and at home. Yeah. They're really good to have.
Yeah, you know, definitely recommend that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they don't have to be expensive. You can get a cheap one off eBay for, I think mine was £8 that I've got in my bathroom at home. My one in my clinic's, you know, a 50 pounder, but that's for professional use. But it makes such a difference. Get your feet up off the floor.
Yeah.
And it just helps clear the rectum area and it gets things moving.
There's a few studies, I don't know if you've seen these as well, though. There's a few studies been done as well that have shown that the nations where they squat to go to the toilet compared to the ones that don't, they have less instances of digestive problems and long-term problems like bowel cancer and stuff like that. So
definitely,
there is a direct correlation with sitting in the right position.
Oh, definitely. It's so important. And like the nurse has said, you know, 80% of the people were fine after they put them on the right position on the toilet. So, you know, get your feet up, even if it's a child's booster step, or you know, some books under each foot. Just try and get your knee in line with your hip, lean forward slightly, and that will hopefully help you go to the toilet better.
There's one you haven't mentioned that I want to ask you about, and that is booze. Where do you stand on that?
Yes, definitely. My husband was a big drinker, a daily drinker, and direct correlations between bowel cancer. And you've just got to give your liver at least 3 days off it. Ideally, you know, just a couple of times a week. We don't want you going over the the units that they actually recommend these days. I mean, even gents are down to 14 units a week now, not 21 like it used to be. So alcohol, you know, keep it to a minimum. Try not to binge drink if you do go out, and be sensible with it, because, you know, it does cause bowel problems. And I think that's one of the major things why we're seeing bowel cancer shooting up, because we are drinking more these days.
Yeah. So when people start to make one, two, or all of those changes that you've spoken about, and they come and have a colonic treatment, what kind of benefits are they going to start seeing, and what sort of results will they start to see?
It's I mean, colonics is a brilliant thing, because we see the results more or less instantaneously after the treatment and during the treatment. So we see a lot of released trapped gases coming out. We give the bowel exercise, like we say, and it reconnects the gut-brain axis. So it's really good for getting everything in line and working again. Resets the bowel and encourages it to work normally again, and rebalances the gut flora. So we need a lot of good bacteria in there to help digest the food and ferment the waste. On whole, there's 3 pints of gas made every day within the bowel, but you've got to have the good bacteria to get it in there functioning properly. So to help flush any bad stuff out, get on your probiotics or your good healthy vegetables to help it recolonize really helps. And the main thing, you know, is to get that microflora balanced and get everything working right. And with your live bacteria, it's important because it helps get the produce important vitamins like your biotin, your vitamin K. So that, you know, helps digestion on the whole. So we just want to get your digestion working optimally, really. And people, if they come in very bloated, the tummy, their abdomen actually goes nice and soft, and the gases all come out, and that in turn will help everything. If you've got a lot of stool stuck behind the gases, the gas acts as a bit of a wall. So if you've got excessive gases in there, everything will sit behind it. So what we see more and more during the treatment is, once we've released the gas, we get lots and lots of very productive pressurized heavy releases coming out, and the stomach just deflates in front of your eyes, you know, and people feel straight away so much better, so much more comfortable. So it's a brilliant thing to have to make you feel so much better straight away.
Off the back of that, I just want to briefly share my colonics experience with everyone, with you and with the listeners. Because yeah. I've had it done. I've only had it done once, so I'll probably come and see you when I get around to it, and when you're less, if you're ever less busy. But yeah, I went to see Linda, and it was interesting because, speaking of booze, I'd just been to Berlin to the beer festival for the whole weekend. Been hammering the beer all weekend, and I went to see Linda like probably 3 or 4 days after I got back, and she started doing the treatment on me, and literally she's like, you've got like really, you seem really healthy. Well, obviously I am, because I look after myself, I eat well, kind of stuff. But literally all that came out of me was just gas, and it was just beer gas, like, because all I'd had is that fizzy beer all weekend, and she's like, look, all that's coming out of you is just beer. I mean, it's important to get those gases out, and just I just wanted to share that story, because it's
we see quite a lot of patients like that, and I know my son is one of them. You know, he used to be a lager drinker, but he's gone more to the craft ales now, and that seems to be settling things down. But he was the same. There's loads of bubbly gas in there, you know, and it can just stop the way the bowel moves. So I'm not surprised, Ali, after that.
I think a lot of people as well, just off the back of that, a lot of people don't listen to their body, do they? They do these things, and they're almost oblivious or unaware to it, that it's causing trouble. So they just think that their stomach should be stuck out, or they should have this pain, like it's a natural thing. And that's wrong, isn't it?
People start
listening to their body.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to, I always say to people, you know your body better than anybody. So if you start to feel different in any way whatsoever, get it checked out. You know, and there should be a bit of softness in the abdominal area, even if you are, you know, really... you've got your six pack and everything going on, there should still be a bit of give in there. And I've had quite a few people, you know, I have sports people come to me, professional athletes and that kind of thing. And there is a certain amount of distension in, you know, in some of these bowels. And once they've had the treatment, it's like, wow, it's completely different. And you can feel that little bit of softness, even though, you know, you might have really good muscle build up there. But yeah, anything that you feel goes different, get it checked out. It's just so important.
For sure. Mm. Let's go in a different direction now then, Jane. Where do you stand on testing and stuff like that? So I'm talking, obviously there's so many different tests you can get done now. So blood, genetics, intolerance.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on those kind of things?
I mean, I'm a Larisian practitioner as well. So I do the Larisian food tests, which are food intolerance tests, not allergy tests. It's an intolerance test. So we find that really helps people, you know, if they have got some food related digestive problems going on, it helps them pin down what foods may be being a problem. And it's part of the York Lab, so it's a 30 year plus medical testing facility. We do it by a blood test, which we take out of your finger. And I think they're really helpful with helping pin down and get your digestive problems sorted. I also work with a company called BTS, where we do all the parasitology tests, and they can do a number of digestive tests there that we can check how your system's working. I also work with nutritionalists as well. So if they need extra help, more specialists, they can do more in-depth testing, like the organic acid tests and a complete digestive test and things like that. So it is very important to help pin down, and if there's something more that needs more specialist help that's out of my jurisdiction a little bit, we will pass people on and refer them to further colleagues of other therapies that we know can also help.
Yeah, just, I love the data. I think it's really important because it gives you a clearer picture, doesn't it? If you don't know what's going on, how can you make a change?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes with the National Health Testing, you know, they do test, but they'll test on a very basic level. So sometimes it's good to go and see like the nutritionalist that will go into an extra depth, and sometimes things really low lying and deep lying will be picked up, which the National Health hasn't picked up. And I do understand their funding, you know, it wouldn't be the same without them, we would really struggle, and I do appreciate everything that the National Health Service do, but you know, sometimes you do need more in-depth testing. And I agree with you, Ali, it's so beneficial to people so we can see what's going on there, really.
Yeah. What role then, Jane, does the genetics play? Because obviously you've said people in your family suffer with certain issues. Where does that tie in?
Yeah.
Is it one of them things that people are just like, oh, you're born with it? Or can they, if they do have it in, I'm going to excuse the pun, if it runs in the family.
Yeah.
can they still counteract that? Or is it just something that they've got to deal with it with the best they can?
Yeah. I mean, we do find usually bowel problems do run genetically. That's not to say the cancers, if your dad's got cancer, you'll get cancer. If you look after yourself, I mean, there's things that we do these days, which maybe our forefathers, foremothers, that they didn't have. So things like colonics, you know, we can get things moving better and we can see what's going on there a little bit. So it's not necessarily, right, my mum's, you know, she doesn't go to the toilet for a week, so I won't go to the toilet for a week. But we do see bowel problems running down generations. But like I say, there's more that we can do these days to get things moving. My background was the same. My mum suffered, but since colonics, I'm so much better. I don't need any help now. I go daily. It sorted me out. So there are things we can do. And the things that we spoke about earlier are things you can put into practice at home. If you're doing all of those, then we've got a better likelihood of everything moving better for you. So don't necessarily think because in your genetic background, you've got these problems, you'll have it and you're stuck with it. You're not. The more you look after yourself, the more you look after your bowel, the better things will be. It's not necessarily the case these days.
Cool. Let's just backtrack a little bit. Mm. I want to go back to the gas and the and that's trumping, farting, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Gas and also burping or belching. Is that a normal thing or is it something that people shouldn't suffer with? What's the deal with gas and belching?
Yeah. I mean, we find most problems, it's fine to burp and trump and let the gas out or whatever you want to do. It's quite normal. The problems we find is when the gas gets trapped in there. And it's not off. It's not a rare thing that once we're doing a colonic that people will start to burp because the gas will start and come out. So, you know, if it comes up, if it comes down, that's fine. Let it come out. It's when it gets trapped that's the problem. And, you know, that can cause all kinds of problems in the gut, you know, the way that your bowel moves. So, yeah, get it out. Let it go. Don't be afraid.
Okay. And what about smell?
Smelly-wise, right, this is one we get quite a lot on. Smell can cause or can be caused by what we call dysbiosis. So it's where your bacteria levels aren't quite right. So you might have more pathogenic bacteria in there, the bad bacteria, than the good bacteria. So a good clear out, a good rinse out on the probiotic, the good fiber foods will get things sorted out. Another one is malabsorption of protein. So if you're not digesting your meat properly, any of the protein kind of substances, then that again can cause quite smelly wind, quite sulfuric kind of smell. So you need a little bit of help with your digestion, whether that's a digestive enzyme, whether that's, I mean, probiotics is a must anyway for most people. So, you know, there are things that can be done, but I know it's not a particularly nice thing. And again, my son used to suffer with smelly wind and he knows when he's due for his colonic because his wife kicks him out of the house and says, go on, mum, get it sorted. So, you know, it does really help keeping your bowel nice and healthy and keeping it working, keeping your microbiome balanced and your digestive enzymes working properly.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially the bit you mentioned about the protein. That's really, really interesting. Yeah. And also, we're gonna come onto this now in terms of supplements and foods that can really help. But you've mentioned probiotics a few times, and
yes.
There was also another podcast episode that I did with a guy called Christian Bates that specializes in baby health, so mother and baby health. And he said to mothers, he's like, you've got to get all of your children on probiotics. He's just like raving about it. So let's go on to the supplements now. So what are the key supplements that are going to help with the gut, with the digestive health, with the bowels? What's the key supplements? And then also, are there any foods that are like go-to foods to really help with digestion?
Yeah. So again, top of the list, probiotics, like we've said. Also the omega-3s, whether it be the food or a supplement, if you're not getting enough of the foods with it in, just helps inflammation and helps lubricate the body, really keeps everything moving.
So back to the healthy fats and the oily fish.
Yeah, oily fish, your nuts, your olive oils, that kind of thing. The more we can keep in there, it lubricates. We need a bit of lubrication in the body. You know, that's why these low-fat diets aren't really good for us. And on a cellular level, you know, the cell membrane is lipid. So we do need a good amount of healthy fats in there. Digestive enzyme, a plant-based digestive enzyme is really helpful, particularly once we hit the 40. age limit kind of thing, your stomach acid starts to deplete once you hit 40. So sometimes when you get older, you'll find that there's foods what you can normally eat, which you can't really, you do struggle with a bit now. So yeah. A good digestive enzyme is a good thing to take once or twice a day, maybe before your evening meal if you're eating late, to help you digest it, or if you're eating anything particularly hard to digest, like your red meat. You know, sometimes if people are going out for a meal and having a bit of wine, that can give heartburn, so your digestive enzyme before the meal can really help settle things down.
Would that be HCL or not? Or
yes, that's fine. Anything like that, betaine, anything like that.
Yeah.
Garlic is a good one as well. Garlic supplement, really good for helping balance dysbiosis within the bowel. So again, that's your bacteria levels. Good antibacterial agent and antimicrobial. So really good for the bowel and keeping things balanced in there. I'm sure a lot of people have heard about leaky gut as well.
Yeah.
Where the junctions within your gut wall aren't quite as tight, so it lets a lot of larger particles through into the general body, which can cause autoimmune problems. So something called L-glutamine, which is an amino acid, really good for supporting the bowel and intestinal workings, as well as other things in the body. So that's another good one to put in. If you do suffer with a bit of constipation, magnesium is a good one, because it just helps the body as a whole, really. It's good for your muscular movements and everything. And also vitamin D. We find a lot of people are vitamin D insufficient at the moment.
You're not going to get any of that in the UK.
I know. I was just going to say, with our weather at the moment, we don't get it. You know, we need, with this northern hemisphere, it's important to keep our vitamin D levels, because that can impact the bowel and achy bones and your energy levels and everything. So I would say they are the more important supplements, particularly on the side of my kind of area, the digestive and gut kind of area.
Yeah. Talk about, don't go on forever, but like foods, because again, this is an area that you could spend all day talking about. But
Oh, yeah. What
are some really key foods, and also not just key ones to help, but what are ones to avoid as well? I know you mentioned earlier about the processed foods, the sugars, but are there any others that might not be obvious, if that makes sense, to avoid?
Yeah, there is. I mean, we get quite a few people who bloat, as we said earlier. And there's something out there called the FODMAP sheet. And these are usually given to people who usually suffer with the IBS symptoms. So there's a lot of good foods on the FODMAP, though, that are high in FODMAPs, which is the fructooligosaccharides, which is all the different sugars in the food, which can cause fermentation, which then can cause the bloating or add to the bloating. So there's really good foods like your broccoli, your cauliflower, your cabbage, onions, mushrooms, that kind of thing. And if you have high levels of those, you can usually find that if your digestion's not on point, that can add to your bloating. So I always say to people, don't cut them out completely, because they're very nutritious foods and we do need them. But just be aware of how much you're having. We can probably get away with a small portion of those. But if you're having a big plate full of everything, then that can cause you problems. But, you know, healthy food wise, we need like the avocados, the nuts, like we say, all the healthy stuff. Things like artichoke is really good for your liver. Fennel is a really good one, but again, it's quite high on the FODMAP sheet. So you just have to be aware of your levels that you're actually eating. So it's a bit of a minefield, really, with the foods. You know, even though, I mean, I love broccoli. That's one of my favourite ones. And I think a lot of people feel like that. But it's just making sure that it's everything in moderation. You know, I can't get my words out. Everything in moderate levels that's going to benefit us.
Yeah, and it's going back to what we said earlier, listening to your body, isn't it? If you eat a big plate of broccoli and you feel like crap, then it's probably not the right thing to be doing.
No, No, that's it. And it's, you know, making a food menu of what you're eating each day. And then if you are feeling bloated, you can look back and see, you know, what may have caused the problem there. If you want to really fine point your diet, you know, that's a good thing to do, a food diary.
Yeah, for sure. All of our clients that come into our gym, into Kinetic Fitness, they're all tracking that. We get them to track with
a food
diary.
It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's going back to what we said earlier. If you don't track and you don't have the data, how do you know if you're improving or making a difference?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
there's one more I just want to touch on before we move on to the next bit. The one other thing is spicy food. Where do you stand on that? What's the deal with spicy food?
Yeah, I mean, we see a few people who can't quite digest the spicy foods. But on a whole, spices are really good for your gut. The only one that we tend to tell people just to be careful of is the chili, because it can be quite...
I love chili.
But on the whole, spices are really good. You know, your ginger, your cardamom, your fenugreek, turmeric again, a brilliant anti-inflammatory. It's just watching the heat, but it's not too hot, not too, you know, too much levels of chili in there. It's just quite a strong kind of spice in there. But on the whole, no, I'm all for spices.
Yeah, so Scotch bonnets in moderation. And
in very, very much low moderation, yes.
Yeah, I love a Scotch bonnet so much.
And my son does as well.
Yeah, okay. What about then your methodology? Just take me through that briefly. So let's say I came in to see you. We'd never met before. What would be the stages and how would you treat me, so to speak?
Right. So the first thing we do when somebody comes in is we go through a full health questionnaire and a digestive consultation. So it's just really to make sure that the patient is okay for treatment. We've got a lot of what's called contraindications, a lot of red flags with people. So we don't want to treat somebody and make them worse, or, you know, ending up in hospital. You hear horrifying things out there. So we do this. Linda's the same, Linda Booth, my colleague. We go through this 8-page health questionnaire just to make sure that everything is up to scratch and get to know your background and what you've been going through, just to get, you know, patient better, really. We get them changed. Everybody, your modesty is protected at all times. When I went for my first colonic, I was scared stiff because I thought I'd be lying there with nothing on. But you're not. You're covered at all times. It's a very important thing, obviously, to make people feel comfortable. So we do what's called palpation and percussion, just to check the abdominal area first. So we have a good feel round of your abdominals, around the large intestine, small intestinal area, and do a bit of tapping, see if we can hear any gas pockets in there. Also, on first treatments, we do a digital rectal examination. So this is just to make sure that there's no hemorrhoids, fissures, fistulas, anything that could cause a problem once we pop a speculum in, which is what we use to get the water into the rectal area. So we also do a blood pressure test to make sure that your blood pressure is okay for treatment. If it's really high, we can't treat people. We're going to be adding extra water into your system, so that will push your blood pressure even higher. So it's very dangerous to treat somebody with high blood pressure or blood pressure that's not under control by medication problems. If we do treat, we talk to them and encourage them to talk to us during the treatment, open up. We can find out quite a lot from people. It puts people at ease as well, I think. They're usually having the treatment on my couch between about 35, 45 minutes, dependent on how impacted it is in there. We do a little bit of manual massage during the treatment to get everything moving. And I do quite a little bit of resting in there, putting herbs in to get everything moving. after the treatment, we pop you on the toilet at least a good 10 minutes, make sure everything's come out that's going to come out. I always say to people, I'd rather you just sit in there. I've got plenty of cleaning to do. Don't rush. We don't want you rushing home after treatment, racing through red lights to get to the toilet. We want you to feel settled. And at the end, we just have a talk through the results, what we've seen during the treatment, anything protocol-wise that we think you will do you better to change or tweak. And we have a good talk and suggest maybe a maintenance kind of program to go on, or whether you need to come back soon for another treatment, or, you know, if we'll see you in 6 months or a year time. So that's just a really quick oversight on what goes through. Obviously, it takes about an hour and a half on the first treatment.
Makes sense. Sounds thorough.
It does, yes.
On my podcast then, Jane, we like to make sure that the listeners have got actionable steps or actionable points that they can take away. So as soon as they finish listening to this, stuff that they can put into practice that is going to help their health and their well-being and make them a better version of themselves. So obviously we want everyone to go for a colonic. That's the first one. But what other action points could you give the listeners to put into practice straight away?
Well, if you're not on a probiotic, get on them. It's a bit of a minefield out there. So watch the fillers in the probiotics. They are usually in the cheaper products to cheapen the product even more. And look for a multi-strain probiotic. So even though if you're on an acidophilus strain, that is just a single strain. So it will do one job within the gut. We need a multi-strain to get lots of different jobs going on within the bowel. So all the lactobacillus strains or the bifido strains. So the lactobacillus rhamnosus is a good strain for dysbiosis if you've got a lot of bad bacteria or suspected bloating or things like that. So anything like your Solgar, your OptiBac, your Just for Tummies, any good brand with a multi-strain will really be beneficial. Cook from scratch where you can. Enjoy your cooking. Pick your best foods, organic if possible, grass-fed meat. The best that you can actually afford is going to be better for your body. 2 litres of water a day. Really important. We need to keep it hydrated. And get out there walking, doing the gym work. It's so important. And as a last one, get a squatty potty, get your feet up off the floor, and let's get you moving every day. They are the important ones, I think.
Love it. Love it. Go and do them now. If you've listened to this and you've got this far, make sure you put them into practice.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap things up, Jane. I've loved speaking with you this morning, and I appreciate you obviously taking your time out.
No, thank you for inviting me. You know, it's always good to get the word of colon hydrotherapy out there. And if you do go for a colonic, make sure that your therapist is registered. It's very highly unregulated out there. There's people with no medical background, minimal training, and then they're just let loose on the general public. So look for an ARCH registered or a RICCAT registered therapist. You'll know then that they're trained up to a high level.
Yeah, I always love the ARCH Colonics Facebook page as well. You're on that, obviously. They post some amazing stuff. So I'll put the link to that in the description. Wonderful. Of the podcast, because they do brilliant posts. So I highly recommend everyone going and checking out the ARCH Colonics Facebook page. Wonderful. For sure.
Thank you.
They do some funny ones as well, don't they?
Oh, they do. Did you see the log one the other day?
Yeah, the log and then the cat, the farting cat or something. Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean this is a sensitive area, so if we can be a bit more jovial about it, it's better.
You need to be. Yeah, I think if as therapists, I mean, you'll find most of us have got a bit of a weird sense of humour, but you need to, you know, if it's too serious, it would be very uncomfortable, I think, for people.
Yeah. Where can the listeners go to find out more about you then, Jane? What's your website, and have you got any social media handles or anything like that?
Yes, certainly. I'm on Gedling Colonics website, which is www.gedlingcolonics.co.uk. And I'm on the Facebook as Gedling Colonics. And if you go on the Arch website, they're under www.colonic-association.org. And I also sit on the executive committee of Arch as the general secretary as well. So I know most of the members up and down the country, and know that you'll be in safe hands if you go to any of them.
Super qualified. Love it.
Yeah, super qualified. Hopefully, yes.
Awesome. We always finish our podcast, or my podcast, in the same way, and that's with a favorite quote. So just to wrap up, can you leave myself and the listeners with a favorite quote to finish?
Yes. A quote I'm always using is "better out than in," and it's definitely the case with Colonics.
I love it. That is brilliant. Better out than in.
Great.
So true. All right, Jane, have a fantastic rest of the day and enjoy your weekend, and let's keep in touch and speak again soon. Thank you so much.
Definitely, Ali. And thank you for inviting me on.
No problem. My pleasure.
Lovely.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. There we have it. That's a wrap on episode number 46 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this episode. As I mentioned at the start, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast. Leave me a review and share it with your friends, family, colleagues, and loved ones. Don't forget to check out the links as well in the description to Reflex Nutrition and to the big Biohacking Your Breath event that we have coming up in September. Highly suggest that you get booked onto that before it's too late. That's it for this week. Until I speak to you again, stay strong, stay healthy, peace and love.